Among the many metaphors that are used to describe churches and parish communities is that of being a family. And it can be a wonderful metaphor to describe a church community, particularly if we are a smaller congregation like ours, particularly if there are times when we are gladdened to see faces of family members returning who've been away for a while. It can be a wonderful metaphor to describe the life of a church community. But like every metaphor, it is not all-embracing in its description, and it can have its positive connotations and not-so-positive connotations. Think about family in terms of what we heard in Scripture today, a lesson from the book of Genesis about a family drama, maybe more of a family melodrama, of complicated family relationships unfolding before us. And I'll say a few more words about that in a minute. And then in the gospel today, Jesus seeming to call into question the very commitments that we often honor most and hold most dear between a mother and daughter, a father and son, even between a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. That can be a wonderful, loving commitment. But Jesus seems to question. Well, this family melodrama from the book of Genesis. During these summer months, we're going to be hearing some continuing narrative from the book of Genesis about the patriarchs and matriarchs of faith. And if you want to tell the story simply, it's Abraham and Sarah have a child named Isaac, and Isaac marries Rebecca, and they have children named Jacob and Esau. And the promise made to Abraham and Sarah is carried out in this wonderful story of descendants multiplying and becoming the Israelites, the Jewish people. But of course, like every human family, it's much more complicated than that. And today we pick up the story as a woman named Hagar, who has given birth to a son, whose son's name is Ishmael, is about to be cast out into the desert. And why? Well, Hagar was a slave girl to Abraham and Sarah, and even though they had been promised by God that they would become the parents of a great nation, they were not able to bear children. And it is Sarah, early in this narrative, who goes to Abraham and says, take this slave girl and have a child with that woman. And that child will become our descendant. Sarah is working to see that the promise of God is fulfilled, actually inviting Abraham. And it was not unusual in that context and in that culture for that to happen. And so indeed, Hagar gives birth. Ishmael begins to grow. But then, Sarah conceives and gives birth to Isaac. And now in this celebration, as Isaac is being weaned, suddenly Sarah's heart turns. She now has a descendant and calls upon Abraham to cast Hagar out into the desert with her son. And so Abraham does precisely that. Hagar is in the desert. She places her child under a bush, unable to bear seeing him die. And there discovers grace, a well of water, salvation, survival, blessing. The wellsprings of God's grace are not confined to a particular family relationship, even to a particular promise that is made to Abraham and Sarah as to how their lives will be fulfilled. The wellsprings of grace, if you read through the family narratives of Scripture, Old and New Testament alike, are constantly springing up in places that are beyond what we normally all of us come from complicated family backgrounds and structures. Some of us have had wonderfully loving and supportive parents. Some of us have had challenges as we have come to adulthood to make our way into the world without that kind of love and support. But the wellsprings of grace are not confined to a particular place, to a particular relationship. And I think that's partly what Jesus is getting at with his provocative words to us about challenging our familial relationships and questioning maybe if we sometimes almost make idols of them.
because there is danger in that as well. As I was reading again and again the story of Hagar and Ishmael, I was reminded of recent news reports of young children in Ireland who 50 and 60 years ago were not cast out into the desert, but taken away from their families of origin, sometimes with their mothers, to homes, separate, apart. And why? Because these children were born out of wedlock. They were born out of the particular structure which the church had come to lift up and almost idolize, a married relationship. Children set apart. One Irishman being interviewed said he recalled going to school with these children, and even in the schoolrooms, they were separate, identified as home children, home babies, dismissed 10 minutes earlier from the rest of the class so that the other children, the good children, wouldn't have to walk home with them. I think that's the kind of idolatry that Jesus addresses when he invites us to see that God's grace and God's love can make itself manifest in every human situation, in every human relationship, so that life can thrive. Family is a wonderful metaphor, but let us never forget how embracing and encompassing it can be. Yesterday, I was at, with some of you, the celebration for Bishop Shaw after 20 years of service as our bishop. It was a picnic under a tent in Jamaica Plain, and 700 to 800 people were gathered there to give thanks. A wonderful day of worship. And I was on the committee that helped to plan the day. And one of my responsibilities at about 10 minutes to 10 was making sure that seats were reserved for Bishop Shaw's family. His two brothers and his sister and nieces and nephews had come from various parts of the country to be with him on this day. And so I got a count, 14 members of his family had the seats all reserved up front. And you know how it is, everything's going right, just according to plan, with a big event you're involved with, and then someone came up to me and suddenly said, oh, by the way, Bishop Shaw's family, his monastic family, Bishop Shaw wants to be sitting with them as well. Well, like most churches, the back rows were all full. There was still room in the front to reserve 10 more seats for his monastic brothers. And there he was throughout the worship with his family. His nieces, his nephews, his brothers, his sister. A family that he left because he loved Jesus more to enter into another family who were there too to surround him and embrace him with their love. May we know the love of all of our families, however they are structured. And may we discover that God is continually creating wellsprings of grace here, beyond here, in ways that will bless us and nourish us for the living of our lives.